Blog Talk Radio.
Hold still, my sweet. I'm trying to measure the space between your molar and your jaw. This caliper, no cause for fear. No, it doesn't hurt. It only helps me measure how much skin you have. Oh, and the topmost layer of fat. But I won't make an incision till you're nice and numb. Oh, and laughing gas can be so much fun. Please don't doubt my decision. This will be ooh, this will be ah, this will be absolutely way. This will be nice, this will be neat, and bring you closer to me. So don't you squirm, don't you fret, I'm not gonna hurt you. Yet I just feel the need to be getting a little of you, a lot of bloodletting. I know the sensation you're probably dreading, but cutting you up will be so refreshing for me. Refreshing for me. You'll find you're missing the point with that. That's enough out of you, and this will be ooh, this will be ah, this will be absolutely weird. This will be nice, this will be neat, and bring you closer to me. So don't you squirm, don't you fret, I'm not gonna hurt you. Yet I just feel the need to be getting a little of you, a lot of bloodletting. I know the sensation you're probably dreading, but cutting you up will be so refreshing for me. Refreshing for me.
Technical difficulties to start the show off, but I believe we are on the air now. I'm just going to ask in the group and see if anybody else is can hear me. And And so can anybody in the group hear me?
Well, I'm on the phone and I can hear.
Hi, Phil.
Hi. Great thinking, Sawa. Great thinking. Hi, Lou.
Hi.
Hi. Picasso says he still can't hear anything. But, no, thank you, girls, ladies, for calling in, and I appreciate you all.
Okay.
And Sawa is on.
Hey, Phil. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sawa,
hello.
In the wall.
Hi, Sawa.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Sawa.
Great. Hello, everyone.
So funny.
Yeah, that was an excellent start to the show.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah,
we can.
Thank you. Okay, perfect.
Absolutely. And so I'm trying to log into the studio, Phil, but it won't work with that password that you gave me.
Well, let me try and give you another one then.
I'll send it to your phone.
Okay, thank you. All right, what a show, what a show. Okay, so I'm going to post the next poem. If you wouldn't mind reading this, please will you, when you see it.
Okay. You can hear me?
Yes.
Okay. This is titled Weave My Skin in Between the Lonely Moments by White Tiger. Wear my skin in between those lonely moments by the fire. When you are there and I am here, we both seem worlds apart, my dear. Remember how we laughed that night we sat upon your stuffed recliner by the fire. We grabbed Bukowski, read it right out loud, taking turns, citing prose, sipping eggnog and iced coffee, watching ice cubes melt as we nestled by the hearth. Just remember, when you're feeling blue, I'm holding you inside my heart. These days apart won't last forever. So throw my favorite flannel on. I'll breathe the scents of sweet perfume you spray on letters every day to make me feel less far away. Just a little less alone, knowing you will be right there the day I get back home. End poem.
Beautiful read, Lee. And that's a touching poem filled with love and longing and desire. And I thought it was brilliantly penned. What did you think, Sawa?
Well, this is another sad one. Beautifully read, as always, Lee. It says incarceration, another one. I think last week we had a similar one. So sad when people get separated like this. All what they have is letters and memory and longing for those moments that they share together, and every drinking and, I mean, not drinking, excuse me, what's the word, sipping. I meant drinking ice coffee. It's funny. I'm glad you laughed. And they laugh and read Bukowski and take turns. Someone who also enjoy poetry. That's really sad. I hope they be out soon and join each other again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that comment, Sawa. And Lou, what did you think?
Pleasure.
Well, what I like about this poem is this shows you what really people miss. It's those little things that you miss when you love somebody. You know, he was very descriptive, and, you know, I liked where he said, you know, he says that, you know, if I'm in a fire and you have a fire, even though we're separated from long distances, it says that he wanted her to remember, you know, the things like sitting on a recliner, grabbing a book of poetry, you know, especially Bukowski, because you can be loud. And I can imagine, because, you know, sipping eggnog and iced coffee, I don't know if there was any, you know, spike in it. But like Sawa mentioned, she says, but, you know, just, you know, I liked where he says, you know, for her to wrap herself around his flannel shirt while he breathes in the letters that she writes him with perfume so that he can remember when he closes his eyes of being there with them. So he says it won't be back long till he's home. This is a wonderful poem.
Thank you, Liu. And Bill My Eyes, would you like to make a comment on the poem?
Well, I thought it was beautiful, the poem, as much of it as I heard. I've been kind of like dancing around here. Just so you know, we have another caller. We have Passion's Promise on the line. But it was an excellent poem and a great read, Lou, very much so.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And Passions, did you get a chance to hear the poem?
No, I didn't.
Hi, Passions.
Okay, well, thank you.
Hi, how are y'all doing?
Hello, Passions.
Doing good. Welcome, welcome.
Okay. Yes, thank you for calling in. I appreciate that. I'm going to go up the next poem here. And we'll post this to the group. Okay. Isabella, if you wouldn't mind, please let me see this.
Okay. I don't see it yet. Maybe I should do first.
I don't see it either.
Yeah, I see it now. Okay. Okay. My Soul Treasure by Copper Band. Surreal how life goes, meeting that alluring girl. Laughter and craving made us dissolve into one. Wished we lived nearby, rendezvous in a hotel. Yet range fade, dimming, that fire lit in our passion. I'm here longing to make you feel pretty again. But just trust me, honey, and fasten your seat belt. Can hold my appetite, must now pop the champagne. When you first shared our lust, I just knew how you felt. Now I'm keeping you awake. Share me a new one. As each piece of you just mirrors a masterpiece, being with you likens having a large fortune. I grasp you tightly as you are my soul treasure. End of poem.
Great retailer. And so that was a beautiful poem. You know, you can feel the passion in this piece and the lustful nature of it. I'll grasp you tightly as you own this whole treasure. You know, you feel like you've found a treasure when you find a special person who bonds with you in this way. And I thought it was just beautifully done. What did you think, Passions?
I agree. It's a beautiful poem. I like the word, I'm here longing to make you feel pretty again. Must just trust me, honey, unfasten your seatbelt. Can't hold my appetite, must now pop the champagne. When we first shared our lust, I just knew how you felt. Beautiful lines. We could tell where it led to something further than the lust. And I love the piece of where she mirrors a masterpiece and she being the soul treasure. It's a beautiful piece altogether.
Great comment. Thank you, Passions. And Louie, what did you think?
You know, this was, he's telling you what meant the most to him. He says that in life it seems so surreal where when you get to spend time with somebody and you share the laughter and you share your cravings and you become one. And, you know, and that's what he, you know, that he's talking about, that he can't wait to be with this person again, going along with Passion's comments, because he says his treasures, all the treasures he has is every moment that he can spend with her. She's like a token of large fortune that he just wants to spend it with her.
Beautiful, beautiful comment, Lee. Thank you. And Sal, what did you
do? I feel like, again, in his someone in his notes, distance and love, another two souls separated by distance, and he craving to be, he or she craving to be with his other half, and I grasp you tightly as you are my soul treasure. Only one, I mean, completing each other. Just so much longing in this poem. Beautifully done.
Well said, thank you. And Bill, what did you think?
You know, I thought this was a wonderful piece. I thought it was filled with love and desire, and it was just really well written. Not a long piece, but I think it was pretty much straight and to the point. So nice work, Copper Bin. Nicely done.
Absolutely. Thank you, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to post the next link here. And would you mind reading this for us, Phil?
Sure. Let me get back in the groove here. let me see now. Okay, well, that didn't work so good. And this is by Randa Yastri, right?
It is.
Yeah. So, Wake Up, Spring Is Here by Randa Yastri. Wake up. The cold of winter melts away, and spring brings a new beginning. The flowers are so delighted to bloom again, the birds are cheerfully singing. New life is emerging from the ground, coloring everything in nature green. What a better invitation to get out to this beautiful scene. Welcome the animals you didn't see from last year. Eventually they are given the all clear. Shorter nights, longer days, go out. Breathe the fragrant and fresh air deeply. New joy, new hope, confess. The whole world is so dreaming. Wake up. Forget about worries. Clear your mind. Be a social creature. Just concentrate on beauty and sound of nature. And poem.
That was a wonderful read, Bill. And it's a beautiful poem, you know. Wake up, the cold of winter melts away, and spring brings a new beginning. The flowers are delighted to bloom again. The birds are cheerfully singing. Such a pretty picture painted in that first stanza. And then all throughout, new life emerging from the ground, coloring everything in nature green. What a better invitation to get out to this beautiful scene. Just a fantastic poem. What did you think, Lee?
Well, I liked how she, you know, just the title of her poem, Wake Up, Spring Is Here. You know, the winter has been so cold this year, so I'm actually looking forward to spring and summer. Of course, I'll probably say it's too hot when it gets here, but what I love about this is is that everything blooms. Everything's starting to bloom, the leaves on the tree, the flowers, the bulbs, everything. The little birds start coming around again. I can't wait for the hummingbirds to come around. And, you know, and it does. The days get longer, and, you know, and she says, go out and enjoy it. Enjoy the fragrant, fresh air deeply. So, you know, she says, because that's what gives us new joy, new hope. Confess, the whole world is so dreamy when we're out in this environment. And excellent read, Phil. I really like the way you read this.
Thanks, honey.
Thank you, Liu. And Sawa, what are your thoughts?
I agree. Great read. And I really like it. Just so cheerful. It makes you want to just be outside with the nature. I'm a nature lover, so I really love it. How she says, dreamy, I'll give you hope, you forget your worries. An invitation from nature. So listen to it and get up, wake up, the world. I just love it.
Yeah. Thank you, Stella. And Pastons, what did you think?
I think this was a beautiful song of bringing out, waking up, wake up, spring is here. You know, new life is emerging from the ground, coloring everything in nature green. What a better invitation to get out to this beautiful scene. Beautiful. You're going to get to see the animals that we haven't seen for a while because of winter, and then the beautiful nature that comes out. And it's wonderful. Go out, forget your worries, concentrate on the atmosphere. It's a beautiful poem. Well read, Phil.
Thank you, hon.
Thank you, Pastors. And Bill, what did you think of the poem?
You know, I thought it was a bubbly poem. I thought it had a bubbly
mm-hmm.
attitude. And I, you know, I thought there were great thoughts ran along all the lines of the piece. And I thought it was nicely expressed. It was really, you know, It was a pleasant piece. It was a little uplifting. It was kind of, you know, I don't know, just so much better than
bubbly.
The
winter. Like you said.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Bill. Okay, I've got the next poem up. It's called A Rainy Spring Day by Michael Wright. Today's a rainy spring day. Content, I am, sitting in my patio with a good book. Since I can't go out and play. While the weather is dark and gray, I will not let such dreary colors affect my outlook. Though today's a rainy spring day, though I'm very happy to stay here in this, my secure, happy nook, while I can't go out to play. I am grateful I don't have to go away to see how dripping wet people look, since today's a rainy spring day. No need to put up with the traffic's delay, just reschedule things in my datebook, since I can't go out to play. When the sun comes out, I'll say hooray for the things that today I undertook. Today's a rainy spring day when I can't go out to play. And then it says, if you like my poem, check out my prose at thewriteauthor.com. But no, you know, that's a lovely poem. It's a little bit melancholic with the isolation of it, you know, because you can't go out to play, and then when you can't go out to play. But, you know, other than that, it's got a beautiful message to it, and that shines through clearly in the right. What did you think, Phil?
Hello?
Hello, Phil? Oh, she must have stepped away.
I'm sorry.
Here you go. Okay.
Can you come back to me?
Sure.
Thank you.
You said me?
Yes, please.
Yeah. You know what I liked about this poem? You know, sometimes when it rains, you just don't want to go outside and get wet. Wet your shoes, wet your pants, wet the inside of the car. You know, you just don't want to go out. You want to, you know, sit at home in a nice comfy chair, get a book that you've been interested in, haven't had time to read. You know, you can play inside, but in a quiet way. And for me, this was an excellent poem because he says here he's secure and happy in his little nook. So, you know, this is the way to go. You know, when the weather's bad, you stay in, get your book out, cup of coffee, some hot chocolate, whatever, hot toddy, and sit in your chair and just enjoy the reading while it's raining outside. That's just, to me, that's fantastic. I like to do that.
Great comment, Louise. Thank you. And Sawa, what did you think?
I'm giggling because I'm the opposite. I love the rain.
I like the rain too, but...
Yeah. I mean, it depends. If it's cold, I don't like it. But if it's not like warm and nice, so it really depends. So if he means here cold day, yes, I agree with him. But if it's warm and nice, get out and play and have fun and get wet. So it's really beautiful. Just so that someone who, as you said, is happy and he's just like to be inside and read books and have his happy corner. So really beautiful poem and beautifully read, Chris. Just teasing you.
Thank you, Sawa.
Teasing you, Louis.
What did you think?
As well, Red Gray, I enjoyed the piece. To me, I was thinking, well, content I am sitting in my patio with a good book since I can't go out to play. And then when I seen the happy nook, I'm picturing him writing for his prose or his poetry, whatever, you know, drinking coffee and enjoying a writing day. It was all in all a great piece.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Passions. Okay, Lulu, you're up next to read, please.
Okay. And this is titled Springtime in Australia by Anonymous Soul 123. Warm sunny day, exotic beach bay, kangaroos jumping on dusty lands, colorful orchids and daisy buds scattered in strands, shining valleys, buzzing of honeybees, cafes serving French fries loaded with cheese, cool and pleasant night, having crunchy choco chip cookies to bite. Sounds good, right? Mm-hmm, does too. Sounds good.
You did a wonderful thing. And that was an excellent write. You know, you can picture all that as he says it, you know. Kangaroos jumping on dusty land, colorful orchids and daisy buds scattered in strands, shining valleys, buzzing honeybees, cafe serving french fries loaded with cheese. Sounds delicious and a beautiful picture painted. What did you think, Sawa?
Sounds good. I really, my dream is, one of my dreams, beautiful read, as always, my dream is to see a real kangaroo. So this is really so inviting, exotic beach. How lucky you are. You can see kangaroo jumping on dusty lands and colorful orchards. Just beautiful, shiny valley. Oh, honeybees. Someone enjoying every moment of the sunny, warm day. Really beautiful.
Thank you, Sawa. And Passions, what did you think?
Well, not only did they paint a beautiful image of the atmosphere with the exotic beach and the kangaroos jumping and colorful orchids and daisy buds, they gave us some food delight to ponder on as well. It is a beautiful piece and was well read. I enjoyed this one. Wished I was in Australia now.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, kindly Passions. And Phil, what are your thoughts?
There I am. Sorry about that. I lost myself. I have to be, I'm like, confused. It was a great snapshot of a small moment in time, I thought. It was pleasant. You know, it sounded wonderful. You know, it just kind of lets you drift a little bit in the thought. And I really liked it. It was a gravity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you, Phil. And Lee, what did you think of the poem that you read?
Well, I enjoyed it so much because, you know, you go out there. You never know what you're going to see when you go for a walk. Sometimes you see the same thing, sometimes you don't. But he noticed so many things. He noticed the kangaroos jumping on the dusty sands, which I could actually see. He talked about how the flowers, the orchids and daisy buds were scattered and blooming. And, you know, some orchids are very fragrant, so I can just imagine all the bees buzzing around. And then, of course, you know, some places on beaches, there's a lot of restaurants. Some places doesn't have them, but this one does. And he says he could smell the French fries and the cheese. And he said, you know, so I imagine that's what he went to eat. And, you know, he's going to have a great night because he's got choco chip cookies.
Absolutely, yeah. Great comment. Thank you, Leah. Okay, so I posted the next poem, if you don't mind reading that, please.
Oh, I'd say my pleasure. The Four Seasons by Cool May. Fall's weary, dreading divorce. Come, come, dear spring, and bring your flowers. Escape old winter on the wing. I hunger for summer fling. End of poem.
That was a beautiful read. And such a light, delightful poem. You know, it just zips right through the seasons with meaning and depth. Fall's weary dreariness devours. Come, come, dear spring, and bring your flowers. And then the rest of it is just bang on. I really like it. What did you think, Passions?
I like how they weaved all four seasons in each line. It was beautiful, in all. And I'm ready to escape the old winter, and I'm hungry for the summer flame. I'm ready. This is beautiful, and was well read.
Great comment. Thank you, Passions. Okay. Let's see here. Lee, what did you think?
All I liked about this brochure, she put all four seasons in there. She described fall, you know, that its dreariness devours her, but, you know, God, fall is so beautiful. And it says spring. She said she's looking forward to spring when the flowers are blooming, you know, that she's tired of winter, and she's ready for a summer fling. She's ready for the heat to come.
Yeah, absolutely. And Phil, what are your thoughts?
You know, I thought it was an excellent brevity, and I felt it, it was just really well expressed. You know, there's four lines, four seasons, and each one was well stated, so I thought it was really just a nice piece. So, great job.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to grab the next poem here, and we'll get this posted up. Oops. Links. Okay, here we go. And if you wouldn't mind, please reading this, Passions. Can't you see it?
Okay. Hold on.
There we go.
Okay. I Know Spring's Coming by Orange Sage. When the camellia flares across my winter thoughts, those pale pink messengers petaling June, and always with July, that early bottle sweetens my walk home. My fingers can't resist the spring. I want to suck in all that yellow. I know spring is almost here when a nectarine tree in my neighbor's yard throws its pink fist up to winter clouds, and there is a definite mellowing in the air. Soon fruits will hold their round faces over the fence, tempting me. End poem.
Wonderful read, Passions. And, you know, this is a delightful springtime poem, you know, when the camellia flares across my winter thoughts, those pale pink messengers petaling June. And always with July, that early wattle sweetens my walk home. My fingers can't resist a sprig. I want to suck in all that yellow. It's hard to picture somebody just grabbing a branch to suck on it, but, you know, I guess teach their own. And but, you know, it's a delightful poem. And I really like, soon the fruit will hold their round faces over the fence, tempting me. I mean, who hasn't been tempted by a fruit hanging over a neighbor's fence or as you walk along? But, yeah, beautiful poem. An excellent read, Passions. So,
thank you.
What did you think? Hello, Phil?
Hello? Okay, you did say May. Okay, I'm sorry. I couldn't tell if you,
okay.
Did you say May? And I'm on mute, so, you know. I said it was lovely imagery throughout and a great capture of spring's beauty. Very well done. Nice piece.
Thank you, Phil. Lou, what did you think?
This brought back so many fantastic memories. I love watching trees blossom, you know, apple trees, fig trees, it doesn't matter, apricot trees, the beautiful scent that it leaves out. And then as summer goes through, the fruit starts to, you know, get ripened and big and round. And, oh, my goodness, there's nothing better than pulling off a peach or a nectarine that's been in the sun, that's juicy, and you bite it, and it just rolls down your lips and your chin, all full of syrup and sugar. You know, I can't blame her. You know, I will just have to go be tempted by that fruit, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Leah. And Sawa, what did you think?
Oh, beautiful poem, beautiful read, and I love your comments. Hallelujah. It's just beautiful promenade. Someone who, I agree, can imagine walking in between all of these fruits and not tempted. The early walk, my walk home, my finger can resist the sprig. I want to suck. Oh, that's yellow. Oh, yum, yum, yum. Made me want to go get food right now. So, so yummy.
Delicious.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you, Sawa. Okay, Phil, I'm posting a link, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay, Doug. After that, I have to go, and I have to pull a few sound clips that I pulled in the other studio. Okay, here we go.
Right.
This is by Dave Rose. This is called Glorious Springtime. I walk out the door without a coat, a prisoner released from incarceration, close my eyes and consume a cool breeze competing with warming rays to feed my ravenous, ill-sated. I look at a hidden world once more revealed, the grass not fully awoken from its frozen slumber, lying beneath naked branches with baby buds, and I listen to feathered friends sing their welcome, having weathered the long flight home. I rejoice in the promise of coming months, filled with barbecues and rainbow blooms, of rich green leaves framed by cloudless blue, and a long days of sunny freedom before another seasonal internment. And so on.
Beautiful read, Bill. And, you know, that's a beautiful poem as well. You know, I walk out the door with a coat, a prisoner, without a coat, a prisoner released from incarceration, close my eyes and consume the cool breeze competing with the warming rays to feed my ravenous skin till sated. Yeah, you know, I can feel that. I can see that. I thought it was very descriptive and visceral, right? Absolutely. What did you think, Lee?
Can you hear me, Gray?
Yeah.
What I liked about this poem is, you know, how she talks about, you know, at times winter can feel like it is a confinement, that you get locked indoors, you know, because of whatever type of storm we have coming through. But when it starts to warm up, you just, even though the air is cool, you just got to stand in the sun's rays and get that little warmth because you know what's coming. Summer's coming, and all the wonderful things that we get to do during summertime. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you, Bu. And Sawa, what did you think?
Oh, I agree, absolutely. Beautiful read, and I really agree what you said. It's just to give you this feeling, someone who's locked in. I walked out the door without a coat, a prisoner released from incarceration, closed my eyes and consumed the cool breeze, competing with warming. To feed my ravenous skin, so treated. It's so, like, absolutely, we need, as a human being, we need fresh air, we need the sun, we need to breathe outdoor. And, of course, when it's cold and freezing, you just stay inside, like, really beautifully. I rejoice the promise coming of months. Someone who really enjoyed the summer and barbecue and the sun and just really enjoyable.
Thank you, Sawa. And Passions, what did you think?
Being from Texas, I enjoy the stanza, as everybody knows. And then I also rejoice in the promise of coming months filled with barbecues and rainbow blooms of rich green leaves framed by clouds of blue and the long days of sunny freedom before another seasonal tournament. And they make you feel part of this poem, and that's what makes a poem to me, you know, emotions, feelings. And now they got me thinking of barbecue. Oh, Lord. It's a beautiful piece.
Absolutely. Thank you. It was a wonderful comment. Okay, Phil, I think you've gone, so I'm going to grab the next poem here. And I will post this to the group and give it a read. This is by Doc Frank. and it's called Spring's Many Sights and Sounds. Warm breezes blow, temperatures begin to rise, leaves turn from brown to auburn, yellow tulip buds blossom into multicolored flowers, fields of brown grass turn green, porcupines scurry around forests, rabbits leave their warm fall nests, squirrels find acorns under fall oak trees, deer, cows appear in large farmers' fields, hawks circle above, looking for a meal. College kids party on many beaches. Loud baseball cheers are heard. The Augusta golf tournament begins. Morning sounds heard, chirping birds. Mothers hang clothes outside to dry. Ragtops, cars appear on highway. Farmers plow and plant their fields. Screens appear in house windows. Little kids are seen playing in yards. Street spring festivals are being held, and scenes and sounds of springtime abound. End poem. Well, that was quite a delightful romp through spring, you know, all the varying factors that come with the coming of spring, you know, like morning sounds heard, chirping birds, mothers hanging clothes outside to dry, ragtops appear on highways, farmers plow and plant their fields, screens appear in house windows, little kids are seen playing in yards, street spring festivals are being held, and scenes and sounds of springtime abound. And just fantastic, right, Doc? Louie, what did you think?
Oh, can you hear me, Greg? I wasn't sure if I was on mute. What I loved about this was, you know, of course, all the activities on the bottom that we get into as it starts getting warmer, but I like how he started the first two stanzas out. I liked how he talked about how the leaves were, you know, were changing color, that, you know, buds were blooming in different colors, you know, which, you know, and the grass was getting green. And then I smiled when it got to the next paragraph because I could see porcupines scurrying around. rabbits leaving their little fall nests, which they do come out, but we have wild rabbits down here. And it said squirrels are looking for acorns and deer, and cows appear in the fields. You know, this is stuff that we look forward to and enjoy. I don't know that everybody sees this, but I do enjoy reading that poets do see it. It was an enjoyable read.
Mm-hmm. Great comment, Louie. Thank you. And Sawa, what are your thoughts?
Yes, I really love it too. He gave justice to a beautiful read too. He gave justice to the title, like he says, and already on the title gave us an idea what he's going to talk about. Spring, many sights and sound. And we human, like when the spring comes, I don't know, I think everyone is like me. We just really want to go see the flowers, how they bloom. I have, like you, little rabbits, bunnies that come in the backyard, and ducks, just everything.
Aww.
Tiny, and the mother, and so beautiful, and squirrels. It's such a joy to watch. And then he take us from this, everyone, outdoors. The kids start partying on the beach. Everyone is enjoying the outdoor, even mothers hanging from the windows, the little kids, and put them, like, screen. Sunscreen, everyone enjoying the spring and outdoors. So true. Absolutely beautiful tribute to spring.
Great comment. Thank you, Sawa. And Passions, what are your thoughts?
It was a peaceful, beautiful imagery. Every stanza left you longing for more. And, I mean, you can actually close your eyes and picture every line that was penned, and it left a beautiful image in my mind. It's a beautiful piece.
Thank you, Passions. And Lou, I've got the next piece up, if you wouldn't mind reading, please.
Okay. Let me refresh. Winter Spring Grumbles by Denle. If darkness falls much earlier, no point in getting up. No wonder creatures hibernate. They're all had quite enough. It's dark when we awake these days. It's dark when we get home. The temperature is falling fast. It's dropping like a stone. We huddle in our cardigans in front of blazing fires. It takes an hour to thaw the car, put chains upon the tires. Our supper now is hearty fare, roast beef and Irish stew. We sweep up leaves just to keep warm, a job we hate to do. The shops are full of Easter eggs in many weeks away. The chocolate will go off before it's served on Easter Day. The hot cross buns will dry out and turn stale way before then. So why is all this stuff on sale so early? Do ye ken? I know I grumble quite a lot. I don't like winter cold. It makes me shiver, brings me down, depressing truth be told. But when March comes with lighter days and spring is around the bend, my mood is lightened by the day when the sun shines bright again. End poem.
A beautiful read, Lee. Great read. And, you know, this really brings you through the ups and downs of winter. If darkness falls much earlier, no point in getting up, you know, like just that alone right there is haunting. And, you know, that winter state of, you know, it's just dark outside all the time, so why bother getting up? It's just cold and miserable out of it anyway. But then, you know, I really like the ending where she goes, I know I grumble quite a lot. I don't like the winter cold. It makes me down, depressing, could be told. But then March comes with lighter days and spring is around the bend. My mood is lightened by the day when the sun shines bright again. Just a beautiful poem. So what did you think?
Beautiful read. And I love how, like, each one of us as a human, we favor season than the other. And some people like winter, some people don't like summer. Everyone is different. And here it really shows how much that winter is not her season, kind of depress her, the cold and the darkness. But when comes the spring, that's where she see the light and the sun make her happy, lighter days. Just the contrast, like if you, the first one, two, three, literally maybe half of the, it's about the winter and how, and then the contrast, how the marsh make her happy. Really beautiful. And it made me smile when she said the question, so early do you, you can? So why all this stuff on sale earlier than supposed to be? I think just like there's a little humor here. And it made me hungry again with the with the buns, hot buns, and Easter chocolate, yum, yum, yum. Oh, goodness.
Mm.
I barely ate today, so this is making me hungry.
Great comment. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
Passions, what did you think?
Well, if darkness falls much earlier, no point in getting up. No wonder creatures hibernate. They all had quite enough. The first stanza alone was pretty depressive to me. We see everybody sees, you know, their season as their own image, I guess. You could tell that she disliked it. Or they dislike the cold and can't wait for the March to come so they can have more freedom of the, where they're not captive of that darkness. I really, really liked the flow of this piece, and it was really well read and real well written. I loved it.
Absolutely. Thank you. Passions. Okay, so we're going to get into some open poetry here, starting with Sala, and she has a SoundCloud. So I will play on that. Okay, here we go. Oh, wrong link. Okay, here we go.
I left arms when alone, quand le seul, quando da sola. When alone, the soul of her eyes, dream of tomorrow's moon. Not yesterday, words never said, gentle touch never felt. Quand le seul, l'âme de ses yeux, rêve de la lune de demain, pas d'hier, de mots jamais dits, de caresses jamais ressenties. Quando da sola, l'anima de suo occhi, sogna la luna di domani, non di ieri, parole mai dette, dolci caresse mai sentito. End of poem.
Excellent read and late, so, you know, for such a brevity, it packs a lot of punch. It, you know, really lets you see into the heart and soul of this woman who has never felt the gentle touch. It's just a very haunting poem for such a brevity. Beautifully done.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
Well, I so always enjoy listening to Sawa read with her soft voice, especially with something that makes you think about what she wrote. You know, she's talking about this woman's eyes that, you know, that she's dreaming of tomorrow's moon because the moon from yesterday was hollow and empty because she never received a gentle touch, nor has she felt it. So this is somebody who's looking forward, even though her past is very deeply sad. Beautiful poem, Sawa.
Thank you so much, Liu.
What did you think? A little passions?
Pat.
Oh, sorry. Didn't know you were talking. I love this, Brevity. This was a beautiful piece, beautifully read. When a lone soul looks over her eyes, dream of tomorrow's moon. You can feel the emptiness. I have to agree with the haunting feeling of this piece. Words never said, gentle touch never felt. It was emotional, a very emotional piece that kind of hit the heart some. This is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful brevity. I enjoyed this
Thank
one.
You. Thank you so much, Passion.
Hey, comment. Thank you. And would you like to say anything about your poem, Sala?
Nothing says it. I'm sorry, I'm going to start laughing. You know? No. I'm sorry. Great.
Okay. Thank you, Sala.
Sorry.
Not like this. Okay, Passions, I put your poem up whenever you're ready.
Okay. Beyond the rivers of paradise, cross the breathtaking view and colors you describe, every rainbow's undressed. Your words of poetic flair take me there, often may pierce the paradise. Notes of love leaving me breathless daily in sweet poetry. Still, whenever we chat, heartfelt conversation between two, everyone around disappears. Reality floats to a dreamer's dream, and I fall in love with the magician of words. Victorious we are in a lover's dance where earth becomes a fairy tale land. Roses sing and sway, butterflies play, and stars fall from the skies like dragonflies. Oh, to dance a tango in paradise across the sea, forgetting all that's here just to be with you. Paths have crossed and I am dreaming of you, artistic designing a painting of love, racing heartbeat, a sigh from the soul, a taste of ambrosia from desire, flaming lips, drinking up delicious nectar like a bee. I buzz delicately, land and sting lightly, softening the spot with a little love to last, eternally to you from me beyond the river of paradise.
Beautiful read, and such amazing imagery in this, you know. Paths have crossed, and I'm dreaming of you, artistic designing, and a painting of love, raising heartbeats, a sigh from soul, the taste of ambrosia from desire, flaming lips. Just a haunting poem full of incredible imagery. It's like reading a love letter between two souls, and I thought it was just beautifully penned. Excellent read, excellent write. Absolutely. Lou, what do you think?
Well, this was a beautiful acrostic. I really enjoy listening to you read this passion. You know, I liked how you talk about poetry and how when you spend time with this person that it just leaves you breathless as you chat. And, you know, and it's true. When you're talking to that person, everything disappears. And what I really loved, I loved the entire piece, but I thought this, you know, was just beautiful. Reality floats to a dreamer's dream, and I fall in love with the magician of words. Victorious, we are in a lover's dance where earth becomes a fairy tale land. Roses sing and sway, butterflies play, and stars fall from the skies like dragonflies. And that's the way love should be, and that's how you should feel when you're spending time with somebody. This was just gorgeous. Thank you.
Absolutely, I agree. Thank you. And Sal, what did you think?
Hi, I really applaud you for this because it's not easy to do an acrostic like this, and you did it fabulously. It shows so much passion and delicateness of tenderness, and you're feeling so much longing for just with desires that you wish you have with your beloved one, dancing, enjoying like dancing a tango in paradise across the sea, forgetting all that's here, just be with you, just enjoying the moment of your beloved one. It's just beautiful, the idea of beyond the river of paradise, so romantic and passionate. I see why your name is Passion.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Absolutely. Thank you. And Passions, would you like to say anything about your poem?
I enjoyed writing. It's just acrostic. I love writing acrostics. I love different forms, but acrostics are my favorite. I like to try to pull my readers in and please their senses and everything. So I'm delighted, and I thank each one of you for your comments. I appreciate it. It means a lot to me.
Absolutely, and thank you for sharing. Okay, I've got the next poem, and that's by Frank, and he has a SoundCloud, so I'll play that. Exotic eyes meet at ignited intervals of lust, closing the glass door to then begin our sexual exploration. Our lips touch as our naked bodies
press against each other, wrapping themselves in the sultry swirl of intimate flesh. We drench in the eroticism of the viscosity of oozing oil, lubricating the lubricious surface of our soft skin, an escapade of lascivious limbs discovered like a plunging dive of an uninterrupted exhibition. We dance to the penetrating motions of the Kama Sutra as the water soaks us in the wet flow of a steaming cascade. Our strong craving begs for the hormones to be released. When your bosom swells to caresses of my tongue, I reach your navel and edges of your blossoming inner lips as the coil between your juicy thighs starts to shiver with every manly stroke for my sweet seduction, and you moan in the tumescent vapors of Spanish ecstasy. We are submerged in the liquid of our dripping desires, covered in the orgasmic drops of a wild whirlpool, bursting into an exploding crescendo of our passion until we melt in the water of a calm effusion converged. Tu eres mi pasión, tu eres mi excitación, tu cuerpo es mi exploración, la ducha es nuestra seducción. You are my passion, you are my excitation, your body is my exploration, the shower is our seduction. Ole, ole, in the bone.
Is it Wednesday again? I'm not sure. Just right, the temperature just rose in here. You really burned up the air with that one, Frank. You know, your passion and your art of reading, your oration is fantastic. Especially that Eastern music in the background as well, just blowing you in and hypnotizing you with every word that was read to it. And I thought it was just a beautiful expression of desire and passion. What did you think, Lee?
On mute.
Hello, Lee. Oh, I can't see you or Bobby, unfortunately, Liu. So, Bill, if you could please bring Liu and Bobby on, I would appreciate that. And in the meantime, Sawa, what did you think?
I know why Bobby's here. I'm just kidding. I was wondering, where is Bobby? Good timing,
right,
Bobby. Oh, gosh. Oh, I'm going to be the first. Oh, my goodness. It is, as he said, the title, Dripping. So he's seductive and very dripping.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And Passion, what did you think?
Well, as I've learned with Frank, he writes with passion. He's very sensualist. He does so with class. This is a very heated piece. very visual, as you stated with the music and the read. I mean, fantastic read. Each stanza was perfectly executed. I love the part, "We dance to the penetrating motions of the Kama Sutra as the water soaks us in the wet flow of a semen cascade. Our strong craving begs for the hormones to be released, and your bosom swells with the caressing of my tongue." Hot, sensual, dripping desires is what it did. Great job, Frank.
Absolutely. Thank you, Passions. And Bobby, welcome to the show.
Hi, Bobby.
Hi.
Hi, Bobby. Welcome.
Oh, you're
welcome.
Hear me giggling in the background.
Did you get a chance to hear Frank read?
I did. I am so glad. Frank writes and reads with such panache. He really does. I swear, Frank, if you get any hotter, one of these weeks you'll spontaneously combust. The man has such a flair for passionate writing. Oh my God! I mean, it just oozes. I mean, this verse is very liquid, but it really does. And it just exudes passion and sexuality and always like I think Naomi said, very tasteful, or passion said, very tasteful, very stylish, but always unmistakably very sultry. So, God bless Frank.
Absolutely. Lee, what did you think?
Well, I really enjoyed the music that he played in the background. And then when he read with his voice in a lower pitch, that softly, it's like, like you get a phone call and somebody reads you this. Oh, my God. The phone might melt to my ear, but for me, what started it off, because the most important thing was, he goes, mi amor, our exotic eyes meet at the end, ignited intervals of lust. When you see that the pupils in that person's eyes and the hunger on their face, and it just, everything else just melts into this. And oil, well, that depends, you know. You can slide off a table if you're not careful.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Thank you, Lee.
But this was delicious, and it was lush, and it was rich in seduction.
Absolutely. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to post the next poem, and he has a SoundCloud with his, so I will play that. This is Titus Nguyen. And here we go.
Hokto yekto komiyam. If sonnets were to love the price I pay, awoken with a splendid turn of phrase to germinate each word a fine bouquet, it wholly represents what love portrays. If thoughts were to maintain an avid part, a magnitude of heartbeats from thy pen, discover for yourself this aching heart when palpitations play their part again. I shudder at the thought of one extreme. Love turns the next sensation to entrust. If sonnets were to requiem some dream, to drape my soul a masterclass it must, I'll ask your plea for love, the soft reply, the whisper from your lips.
before I die.
Such a beautiful year, and just a beautiful poem as well. It wholly represents what love portrays, its thoughts were to maintain and vivid part, a magnitude of heartbeats from my pen. Discover for yourself this aching heart when palpitations play the part again. I shudder at the thought of one extreme. Love turns into an expectation to entrust. It's a beautiful poem. What did you think, Lee?
Well, I've heard Titus before, but there was something in his voice that touched me very deeply with the way that he read this. It touched my heart, because our poetry, when it's written, it's part of our soul and our heart and our memories and our desires of what love portrays. And in this, he goes, a magnitude of heartbeats from thy pen. You know, when you write somebody and they write you back, and, you know, just the sensation. And, you know, right here when he talks about this being a requiem, a master class, and in those last few lines, I'll ask your plea for love, the soft reply, the whisper from your lips, before I die. Oh my God, that took me up. That really did. It was beautiful.
Yeah. And so, what do you thought?
Oh my goodness. I just love everything he writes. He has, the way he, the choice of wording, the elegance, the emotion that he put there, his love for his wife, it's like a, I've never seen something like this, I have to say, except for some I know, but so holy, his love, his wife, until he wants to hear, I'll ask you to plead for love, the soft reply, the whisper from your lips before I die. Even this is his last wish. He wants to, like, before he dies, he want to hear it again. He knows she loves him, but that's how much he want to take it with him. And then, it just really melted me. I agree with you. I'm like, made me so emotional. When palpation played their part again, I shudder of that thought of one extreme. Love turns to next sensation to entrust. Oh, if sonnets were the requiem, some dream. Just every word, really, every single word. It's just masterpiece of out of love for his wife. Fine, okay. I love every word. Every moved me deeply. He just takes the breath away, the way he read it, his wording. Incredible. Lucky woman. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you, Zoe. And Passion, what did you think?
Well, you know, I have read Titus for a very long, long time. And this is the first time I got to ever hear him read. And this was an exceptional read, a very romantic love piece that, beautiful sonnet, each word linked to the love, and a magnitude of heartbeats from thy pen, discover for yourself this aching heart. You know, it takes your breath away, and then his plea at the end. It's a remarkable, remarkable piece. Love to read, love to write. Great job, Titus.
Thank you, Parson. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Shakespearean sonnets was a challenge to be able to execute on incredible Shakespearean sonnet, and this one is just absolutely spot on. And it's very Shakespearean in its flavor, in the language, in the way it conveys emotion. It is just a superb piece. If sonnets were to love, the price I'd pay, awoke with a splendid turn of phrase to germinate each word, a fine bouquet, it wholly represents what love portrays. This is Shakespeare incarnate. It's a beautiful piece. I've always admired Titus's writing. I agree with the previous comments that his reading on this had a pang of emotion in it that I don't think I've heard in him before. Piece, romantic, and deeply emotional. Beautifully done.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, Bobby, I have your poem up if you wouldn't mind, please.
Oh, dear. Okay, here we go. Another opportunity to embarrass myself publicly. Okay. I have to preface my reading with this was for a contest that said go into your parking lot, go into your little cache of fragments and construct something from all the little bits and pieces that you save. And God knows I save enough of them. So this is what I came up with. And this is probably as close to Peter Salway as I'll ever get. The existential parade. To exist. Born in a thicket of obfuscation, life is a risk against the certainty. Ancestors howling dark tales. The tyranny of conscious thought, the monsters of the mind, dry and brittle soul. Fields are greener in their description than in their actual greenness. Verdigris in all its shades and hues beyond your reign and realm. The devil rides a full moon, the wind biting to the bone. Time rushes by, love rushes by, life rushes by. All the hearts of the earth will love and be lost. Touch is lethal, for it leaves one's heart at the mercy of another. Fate is both inexplicable and without compassion. We travel between the eternities, connected by an endless ribbon of emotions, emotions searching for the words that would set them free. To live, sounds of the night carried on a breeze as gentle as the breath of a fairy. Silently, in the trough, seconds after lightning, in the moments of silence after music, the earth is motionless and the universe rotates around it, waiting with no end in sight. Suddenly, in that moment, I feel as if I can hear the earth breathing beneath me. I listen, and the wind is full of voices of ancient nights and distant music. The world is full of all manner of history. Life covered with veils of wonder, and walking through life backwards, one tends to miss the adventures ahead. To love. We cling to memories as if they define us, but what we do defines us, and I have my truth to tell. I don't know all. The truth is that you are the wonder of your heart beats fiercely, mine just ticks, and I have not gifts to offer such a wonder. Save to share the simple pleasures of life, if you are hungry, I will feed you. If I am mad, you will tell me. Learn to live of our we're going to be the one who saves me, sets me free. You have given me to know that I have not misread your soft, caring heart. So you have my loving thoughts, and where you have my thoughts, there you also have me. Love that is not truthful is not love. It is passion. Love that has no passion is soulless. You are my truth, my love, my passion, my soul.
Wow.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And, you know, this encompasses all the aspects of living in four. There's three simple chapters, and, you know, to exist, to live, and to love. Just a beautiful poem, Bobby, from start to finish. But you have given me to know that I have not misread your soft, caring heart. So you have my loving thoughts, and where you have my thoughts, there you also have me. You know, how beautiful and touching is that? Just a gorgeous poem, Bobby. What did you think? You bet.
You know, to me, this was, can you hear me?
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
You know, Bobby, I really enjoyed this poem because it was like, in some ways, seeing you journey through life, through different times of your life, you know, where we've all felt some of these moments. And what I, you know, right here where it says to exist, you know, it's like, you know, all of us are existing. You know, we are existing, but how are we existing? You know, are we, you know, do we love where we are right now? You know, and sometimes we really never think about that. And then to live is to go through life where you're aware of everything, especially this stanza I liked here because of my ancestry and your ancestry. I listen and the wind is full of voices of ancient nights and distant music. The world is full of all manner of mysteries. And it is, you know, what lies ahead, but it's when we fall in love. You know, it's like sometimes we may feel that we may not have to give as much as the other, but I don't believe that's true. I believe that anybody that can write like this can love very deeply. Beautiful, Bobby.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely wonderful comment, Louise. And Sawa, what did you think?
I heard this before. Hear it again. It just brought new thoughts. It's just, I love this poem, truly. It's just, I feel like the connection, even though you have each one separate, now that I heard you reading again, actually they are connected. You exist to live, to love. That's why I read it now. And without love, there's no existence, there's no life. I don't know why, that's how I read it.
That's a beautiful
really,
connection.
Yeah, and that's how, and you absolutely proved that, how in your existence you try to find meaning, you find emotion and compassion, and the heart of the earth will love and lust touch. And again, you talk about love in here, and to live, you have to have the emotion of the feeling and hear the earth breathing, bring you, all of this brings the love inside of you, I feel. And the mysteries of love, and then you have to take an adventure. I just love it. I can go on forever because I know time. We're running short on time. I can go on forever. I love every line,
yeah.
Every stanza. It's just beautiful, truly. I love it. So romantic and so passionate.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sawa. Passions, what did you think?
She said she was getting a headache, so.
Oh, she left?
She had to drop, so I hope she feels better.
She said her.
Okay, thank you for calling in, Passion. And would you like to say anything about your poem, Bobby?
Like I said, this was for a contest that the contest was called Unfinished Business. It said, go to your unfinished draft poems. And finish one. And I really didn't have any unfinished poems, but I always have what I call my parking lot. If I hear a phrase that catches my ear or that catches my imagination, I'll jot it down. And I have this whole repository of little snippets and fragments, almost like a fabric remnants. I have phrase remnants, and I sifted through them and tried to pastiche I had there that would flow well And God knows I tinkered with this, but the way it sorted itself out with to exist, to live and to love, just when I finally finished it, I was quite contented with it. But it was an interesting exercise, and I don't think I would have deliberately. I was glad I did because it taught me something about myself and how I think.
Wow.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Bobby. I'm going to post the next poem here, and I'll give this a read. Okay, here we go. This is called Puppet by Daniel Bacino. I always felt myself a time traveler, a relic from the past, an arrow shot into the future, a rat floating about in an oscillating sea of hours. But beliefs, as usual, create the fool who believes in them. I am a mere puppet in the theater of time. I speak, and it is gone. Each word, each thought, destroyed and lost, sent hurling into the abyss of forgotten moments. I think, or do I? I see more a vessel, a gully, a valley in which waters of time flow, dragging the dirt and silt of which it passes over, and which buries me in thoughts and memories. I can't stop it. I can't repeat it. I can only beg for its mercy. Stars are born and light the heavens, and when time says enough, they are gas and dust that float in the nothing. What am I among the stars? Only but dust from their dust at the whim of time. End poem. Wow. That was a powerful poem on the subject of existence itself. You know, we are but dust of the dust of stars. And how haunting is that, knowing that you're just a speck of dust floating around in this wide universe? Excellent, you know, introspective piece for sure. Beautifully done. What did you think? Do you?
Well, for me, even though we are dust to dust, you know, when you touch the soil, there's shimmering, glimmering pieces of different types of stone, and I can't remember what the name of that white material is, that white stone, you know, where it glimmers. So our life, I do believe that we do glimmer, that, you know, that we have traveled through time, you know, but sometimes we can feel really down to the earth, where, you know, you feel as if nothing is going right, you're not going anywhere, nothing you're doing is acceptable, and, you know, you just feel like you're crawling. But, you know, more that when we think of it, a vessel is something that can be emptied and filled and emptied and filled, you know, where I really like where he put that, that he feels like he's I am more of a vessel, a gully, a valley, which water of the time flow, dragging the dirt and silt, which it passes over and buries me in thoughts and memories. But, you know, it also cuts through rock. It cuts through mountains. You know, the strength of a vessel is something that when we're with somebody else can give us more strength. And, you know, depends how you look at stardust. To me, stardust is beautiful. And Daniel's beautiful.
Yeah. Great comment. Thank you, Liu. And Sal, what did you think?
And Liu is beautiful. I love your comment.
Thank you.
It's really a great read. And I feel like he's talking about us as a human being. We are passenger traveling in this world. And we have memories we bury. We have forgotten moment, but the end of all of those thoughts will be buried, as you said, and which buries me in thoughts and memories. We leave behind memories when we leave this world. And that's what I
That's what I see. He wish he can stop it, but he can't. But he's still, there's not really, it's not depressing. You see it in a beautiful way. What I am among the stars only, but dust from the dust, the world form of time. He exists at the end, where, but I can't make any sense what I'm saying, so I'm going to stop. Sorry.
You lost your train of thought.
Yeah.
I hate when I do that.
Thank you, Sarah.
Amazing.
Well,
thank you.
Sorry.
Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I heard you say Salwa.
It's gone, my thought. Sorry.
That's all right. I can channel you. It's okay. I found deeply, deeply transcendental peace. Asking questions that I think was always, humans have asked themselves for time in memoriam. I always felt myself a time traveler, a relic from the past. I identify with that heavily. My parents even said that when I was growing up, I knew about things that I had no business knowing about as a 2-year-old. Where did you hear that? I don't know. I would come up with shit. They'd go like, where did you get that? And my grandmother thought I was reincarnated. Arrows shot into the future. A raft afloat in an oscillating sea of hours. What a beautiful, he's got some beautiful turns of phrase in here. I'm a mere puppet in the theater of time. How beautiful is that? I speak and it is gone, each word, each thought, destroyed and lost, sent hurling into the abyss of forgotten moments. I mean, even though this is talking about thought and time, there's, to me, there's a wealth of visual imagery in here. And I see that we've run out of time, so I'm going to cut this short. But this is a glorious piece. I really love this. I'm going to save it.
Actually, you missed the fiasco tonight getting the show started. So we had to put up a whole new show. And so that
really?
Didn't get done until about 10. Yeah.
Hot damn.
The show,
I'm sorry.
The show still has – that's okay. The show has –
Oh, after midnight, we can cuss.
Yeah, exactly. We have
35.
Oh,
my God, Bobby.
Yeah, I have no shame. My housemate tells me I have no filters, and I tell him that's part of my charm.
Right.
Oh, seriously, this is a seriously beautiful piece. It has got such an existential quality to it that I think I'm going to find myself reading it over several times. Just to be able to absorb the intricacies of his thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, Lou, you have the next poem up, if you don't mind, please, by Pat. I mean, you, Tom, Bob.
Okay. Entwine Dowry by Neutron Bomb. Mandarins peek through the spindly branches, an entwined dowry that decomposes on the forest floor for worms to make a home and fertilize once barren land. You carved sap from the bark in the shape of an insignia. Initials buried below the surface of the once flourishing fruit trees that were picked at by ring-tailed possums. Our lives are overthrown by overgrowth that insidiously climbs toward the diffused light of the sun. In poem. Wow.
Beautiful read. And, you know, this is a stirring poem. It really piques the imagination with Mandarin peek through the spindly branches of an entwined Maori. You know, how epic is that first stanza? And, I really like the whole thing throughout. Beautifully done. Fertilize once barren land. You carve sap from the bark in the shape of an insignia. You can picture all that as she reads it, as she writes it. And I thought it was a fantastic poem. What did you think, Lee?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
What I liked about this poem, I went and looked at the picture to see what it was for, and I want to congratulate her on her gold medal, because she went, you know, sometimes when we look at our lives and we see like a tangled mess of leaves or where light barely comes through, you know, we question ourselves. We question, did I spend my time in my diary, you know, a diary, spending my life with you, you know, on this barren land. And, you know, and it just made me think about how the possums were eating all the fruit from the trees. It says they're not flourishing anymore. And so she says everything has overgrown. And it says that it diffuses the light of the sun. So, you know, the same thing can happen in our lives where we feel tied down with all these emotions, especially if we're in a relationship that's really not productive.
Exactly. Thank you. And Sawa, what did you think? Hello, Sawa?
I don't know if she dropped, Gray. You might have to check the board.
Yes, she has. It's just us three now. Bobby, what did you think?
Oh, I think it's a splendid write. I especially enjoyed the last stanza. Our lives are... Because it seems like all the previous stanzas are leading toward this one thought. Our lives are overthrown by overgrowth that insidiously climbs toward the diffused light of the sun. You could sit there, that in itself could be a poem, and you could sit there and ponder that for hours. Mm-hmm. It is profound, it is beautifully phrased, and it concludes a beautiful piece so elegantly.
Absolutely, thank you. And that's I'm gonna grab the next poem here. I think I've got it.
Gray,
Jack talked to it.
Gray?
Yes.
Gray, you might want to end the radio show a few minutes because they have the after midnight show.
Okay.
She's got to get on. So, yeah, so you might not want to stay the whole 25 minutes, or whatever it is that we have left. 20 minutes, 22.
Yeah. 21 minutes.
Thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I've got the next poem up. It's by Jack Tonkovic, and it's called Object of Desire. You're my OCD, Object of Desire. OOD, Object of Desire, burning higher. We require an OOD, like air, water, and food. Fish swim, bees buzz, we devour desire's fire. Blood on altars treasured, measured for molten gold. At the leisure, azure edger, written in the ledger. Afraid, not paid, amount mislaid, must have you. End poem. And that was a different write for Jack. It's a very powerful write. It's I like the acronym of Object of Desire, OOD. I mean, you know, we are creatures that feed on desire, and I thought he captured that beautifully. What did you think, Liu?
Well, what I liked about this is he's talking about relationships here and love and life and what we go through, you know, that, you know, this person is the object of his desire. And, you know, he talks about how different things are our object of desire. Like, we do need to have food. We do need water. We do need air to exist. And then he talks about the fish is buzzing and their desires, you know, the fish is eating the bugs and the bees are pollinating everything. So he's just talking about different, like snapshots of his ODD.
Absolutely. Thank you, Leah. Okay, Bobby, I have to actually, would you mind commenting on that last poem, Bobby?
I was hoping you'd ask. you're right. It is a departure for Jack. Very, very staccato in its style, which he's usually very brief, but this is even more brief. This is, like I said, very staccato. Object of desire, burning higher. We require an OD. OD, like it's clever. The title, the way he's referred to it, and halfway through, and he's talking about just nature. And halfway through, he transitions abruptly. We devour desire's fire, blood on altars treasured, measured for molten gold at the leisure, azure edged, written in the ledger. All of a sudden, we've got a change here, you know, and it's talking about what drives us through life. And the last stanza is so powerful. Afraid, not paid, amount mislaid, must have you. The play on words here is so skillful, very dexterous. And the way he's woven this all together is with such skill and dexterity. It is a great piece. I really enjoyed the read. I enjoy it. It's like I said, for its style, it's almost a brevity, but boy, is it powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, Bobby, I have the next poem up, if you don't mind, please.
Do I mind? Break you that in. Okay, what's going on here? We got When It Rains in April by Mamiya. Oh, good. I get to read one of Mamiya's pieces. Okay. Let me find it here. Whoops. Hello. Okay, let's not refresh, because my screen doesn't like that. Okay, let's try this.
Oh, again. No.
There we go. Okay. Mania, When It Rains in April. The shower of undelight glows in moonlight. Rewind every drop, vanish it from sight. And should crocuses shed tears in the cusp of the ram, the earth will give up its ghost like an old broken dam. The sky will sigh in relief and whisper of beginnings while the pendulum swings to the beat of memory's thief. End of poem.
Wow, a beautiful read, Bobby. And this is a fabulous poem, you know, deeply metaphoric and rich in its imagery. Fantastically penned. Should crocuses shed tears in the cusp of my arm, the earth will give up its ghost like an old broken dam. The sky will seek relief and whisper of beginnings while the pendulum swings to the beat of memory's thief. Beautiful ending on that. Absolutely fantastic poem. What did you think, Lou?
Well, I really enjoyed her metaphors and her imagery in here, and I especially like the first stanza. The shower of undelight glows in moonlight, rewind every drop, vanishing it from sight. You know, so you know, I could literally see the rain just, you know, slowly running down. Like sometimes it'll dry up and you won't see where it's even landed, but you can smell it. I thought this was a wonderful poem and a good read.
Thank you. And Bobby, what did you think?
That's strange. I was drawn to the last stanza. The sky will sigh in relief and whisper of beginnings while the pendulum swings to the beat of memory's thief. What a beautiful turn of phrase there, the beat of memory's thief. I wish the hell I'd written that. Damn it. Oh, I'm so jealous. This is a beautiful piece, a little bit longer and a little bit wider sentencing than Manuel usually does, but a beautiful brevity. And like you said, very metaphor-rich, great visual imagery, and it is just a delightful read.
Absolutely. Thank you. Okay, Bobby and Bea, I'd like to thank you both for calling in tonight to share your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time.
Well, you betcha.
Much love and appreciate you both.
Oh, well, bless your
love
heart.
You too.
Sticking with it. What that was challenging.
Yeah. I'm glad you called back, Bobby. I'm, you know, so sorry about the, you know, the, well, I don't know what was wrong with the radio.
Well, you got to remember the philosophy of life. Some days you get the bear, some days the bear gets you.
That's true. All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night,
everyone. Noches. Muchos besitos a todos. Kisses to everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, Bobby. Good night, Greg.